The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
In Him was life, and life was the light of men.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let us pray. Eternal Father, in whose grace all our light is born, and in whose love is the fountain of all our joy, wilt thou mercifully lead us into the holy mysteries of this Advent season? Thou hast set in our hearts a haunting hope of a desire and an inevitable day when love and joy shall rule the life of man. And thou hast given us a token and pledge of thy purpose for all humanity in that one whose sonship to thee is the ground and prophecy that our dream, though deferred, will not be defeated. Renew within all of us, Heavenly Father, the prophetic anticipation of our faith, the sense of a beauty ever about to be realized, of a victory ever about to be won, the hope ever coming true of the advent of our Lord. Recall thy church to its old expectant joy, that it may go forth to meet Him who comes to us, glorious in blessing, and who does not wait for our coming to Him. O God, for this weary earth and for our troubled lives, we lift our penitent and anxious supplication. We are tempted by annoyances, despondency, doubt, and by all the turbulent emotions of the world. Our decisions falter under strains of apprehension and distrust. O God, save us from the sophistries of the cynical and our own inclinations to self-deceit. Come close today to all who are troubled with their private griefs, and give to all of us a new spirit of triumph and hope, that we might be the bearers of thy heavenly light. Overcome our evil by thy abundant goodness, and cast out our fear by thy love. Reign thou in us, O God, where fear and care and sin have ruled to our shame and undoing. Attune our life and labor to the rhythm of a great hope, assured that thou at last will have thy way with us and with our tangled world. Keep strong our faith, O divine Redeemer, in the gift of love and light that comes to us anew today. Through Jesus Christ, we humbly pray. Amen. I have often been impressed by the way in which the gospel accounts of our Lord's coming into this world blend beautiful ideals and brutal facts, realism and hope. We have romance and poetry in the angels singing over Bethlehem, like our soft Elysian dreams. But there is something grim and factual in the solid earth of the Roman Empire, careless of angels, ruling the world with violent and selfish power. It was not all a matter of choiring angels and adoring shepherds. For Jesus came to a world where Herod was waiting for him, and where the slaughter of the innocents becomes part of the Christmas story. In the prologue of John's Gospel, we find also an engaging expression of hope and reality, of ideal and fact. Reflecting upon the meaning of our Lord's entry into this world, John says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So says the King James Version. But words, as we all know, have their shades and shafts of meaning. And the word translated comprehended has a double meaning. So this verse has been given a significant rendering in later translations: the light is still shining in darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Now, we all know of John's absorption with the idea of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. He sees that our Lord is the full and ultimate revelation of divine reality that has become tangible and visible and audible in the realm of earth. Here is a coming that makes possible the illumination of our existence so that we can see our way in this world with clarity and assurance. But, says John, there is an opposing condition of darkness in this world. Not alone the world of paganism and violence, but a condition in which men are inhospitable toward and they are unresponsive to the light. We go on rejecting true self-understanding made possible through Christ. We continue to live in a world of illusion, of rebellion, of self-sovereignty. Now, the writer of the fourth gospel apprehends the fact that in this realm of darkness, men do not comprehend the light of God. They do not absorb it. They do not appropriate it. They do not take it in. You see, the Christian faith has always taken seriously the dimension of human evil, all those forces and facts which affect our terrestrial life together, which frustrate human aspiration, and all those forces and facts that would quench the light of God. Now, one does not have to argue the reality of these sinister powers in a day when apparently the best lack all conviction while the worst are full of passionate intensity. With old Thomas Carlyle, I too am weary of a world of improved means to unimproved ends. Incantations of the high priests of our culture no longer make sense. We are not so soundproof in our materialistic cocoon that we cannot hear the ticking of destiny's clock. The only problem is that we do not know the time. There is an undertow of irrationality in our human affairs that keeps on pulling all of us out into depths beyond our reach. If John were living in our own day, I wonder if he would not gather into his semantic net of darkness those thought systems in our world today that ensurf and enslave the minds of men. For surely thought, be it good or bad, exercises a pervasive tyranny in human affairs. Think of what rationalism has done to enchain the human mind, making it unpopular to allege to see anything beyond the confines of its own dogmatism. Surely ideological tyranny is one of the most sinister forms of enslavement. An acute part of the world crisis in our own history derives from the power of Marxist thought to insurf the human mind. Today, a nihilistic mood and a specter of nothingness seems to haunt our world. The following words were written not of faraway lands, but to the American nation by one of her poets. Oh, my country, it is nothing that we must fear. The thought of nothing. The sound of nothing like the hideous screeching of the fire engines in the streets at midnight. The belief in nothing. Yes, you see, there is a condition of darkness in our world that is blind and inhospitable to the light. But yet, Jesus Christ came into our world not simply to tell us that the world is dark. He came to reveal to us that God is light. Oh, how easily our crises today produce apocalyptic visions and a kind of Armageddon anxiety, with all of our clocks set at 5 minutes before midnight. Revolutionary periods easily beget doomsday criers whose despairing exhortations throw the spirit of man into a state of non-productive inertia, even Christian man. You see, John knew what this darkness was all about, but he also affirmed that the light is still shining in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Christ our Lord is God's unquenchable light in this world. You know, the gospel heralds in the New Testament spend precious little time over that old question of ours. What is the world coming to? With eyes on Jesus, they were far more involved with saying, "Look what has come to the world." And that needs to be the authentic accent of the gospel in every age. With reason did the Eastern Magi say, in Auden's words, when they knelt before that Galilean child in Bethlehem, "Oh, here and now our endless journey stops." But with equal reason did the shepherds from the neighboring hills exclaim, on doing obeisance at the same place, "Oh, here and now our endless journey starts." And it starts there for all of us. For this birth meant that the time had come when the people on earth were to have a fresh beginning in history. Into our world had come new light for thought and new power for life. Oh, glory it is, my cloddish and reluctant and frightened flesh is redeemed by that indwelling presence whose fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. That life touches mine at every point, for the incarnation says as much about the world and my life in it as it says about God. And you say, how do you know? The New Testament is written that way. Oh, the incomparable beauty of that scene when the risen Christ comes back at dawn to the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus, with the mystery of life and death upon him, standing there on the beach, saying to that little band, "Children, have you caught any fish?" The risen Christ and fish. The Word made flesh. The Word of God fleshed out. And the light of God flashed out. This world has been entered and irradiated by grace and truth. The divine effulgence actually did come, and it is here to stay until the world ends. No age of darkness, says John, has totally quenched the light of God's presence and activity. Oh, to be sure, the company of those who stand in the beam of light by which the path of true progress is discerned for that time is always small. One thinks of Wilberforce and the early abolitionists in England, the anti-slavery leaders in our own country, and those courageous men and women in our own time who have kept their visions fresh against the world. You see, wherever there is a remnant, however small, who care intensely for the quality of a community's life, who suffer at its departure from the divine ideal, there you have the presence of God. There the light is shining, and there you have hope. You see, history and the kingdom have always leaned heavily upon that creative and sacrificial minority who, though quantitatively small, have been kindled by the Spirit of Christ. They are living and thinking above the average and ahead of the time. Well, as Paul himself thought of God's eternal light in Christ, he envisioned a divine commonwealth whose members would live out their lives, as he put it, as luminaries in the world, holding forth the word of truth. And we can so live, says the apostle, because God has flooded our hearts with his light. In that luminous life of our Lord, we all receive such power that we can say, in the words of George Matheson, "O Son of Man, whenever I doubt of life, I think of thee," and that inner replenishment will always be the causal fountainhead of all our doing. Some years ago, I read a true and beautiful story of one of our old missionaries who, when the communists came to power in China, was being brought home with his fellow missionaries on the Swedish ship, the Gripsholm. His years of service in China all over, that land of his labors now in the grip of an ideology hostile to the Christian faith. And as this ship loaded with missionaries from the Orient came in, one old veteran of the cross was being interviewed by a newspaper correspondent who asked the perfectly natural question, "Don't you feel depressed and defeated in leaving the land of your labors? It's all over now, and it doesn't seem that your life has come to much." But the old missionary replied in one sentence, "All the darkness in the world cannot put out the light of a single candle." There you have it, a life founded on that divine truth: the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Let us stand. Now unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.